I'm Stephen, he's Chris, and this is Mobile Arcade Club, a show about cool mobile games, especially those featured on Apple Arcade. On this episode, a roll-licking adventure in Marvel Knights.
Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Mobile Arcade Club. This episode, Stephen and I are sussing out Marble Knights by WayForward California, based in USA, who I believe we're visiting for the second time in this podcast series, because they are also behind the very well-known and well-loved Shantae series, the sort of half-genie platforming series, which we sussed out probably a couple of months ago now, I think, Stephen.
Yeah, a good little while ago. It was the Legend of the Seven Sirens, something to do with Seven Sirens. But yeah, I was very, very interested, just purely based on WayForward's pedigree, how this game would turn out, because it didn't look to be part of any of their established series. So they have all the creativity in the world to try and make a fun rolling around on a marble game.
Absolutely, and a very, very nice choice of word as well, pedigree, because WayForward do have a very strong track record in their development history. So Marble Knights did strike us as an interesting one to dive in because of their history of making good games and because of its rather novel concept. It looks like, based on what we've played, it's a rather interesting take on the sort of multiplayer adventure sort of genre. We said last episode, the year that 2020 has been, it does feel like a week is a year, so I could probably excuse myself there. But Marble Knights, we sort of likened it to The Legend of Zelda, The Four Swords, that sort of thing, where there's lots of adventuring, isometric adventuring and puzzling and fighting enemies with up to four players. So there's that cooperative element. However, with Marble Knights, the marble, or you know, the marbleizing element, is that you play as characters who roll around on marbles instead of legs, which adds a very intriguing momentum system. And quite a novel little concept. How did you find the marble navigation?
I really, really loved it. It gives it such a unique just way of playing it. I guess you expect most, you know, platform game characters or, you know, dungeon crawl adventure-y game characters, they will move when you want them to move and they'll stop as soon as you take your finger off the movement input device. Marbles, they have momentum when they get rolling. They are real hard to stop, and this game. It has some really good fun with designing some areas that play around with that momentum. It's interesting. It gives you a couple of different options for controls. It begins with the virtual joystick as a touchscreen, or it gives you tilt controls options, which I tried and thought, nope, I'm glad the game sets you up to give you a try of all the different options, but I knew within a second and a half that I am going to go straight back to the virtual stick. That tilting was not for me, let's just put it that way. It also allows you to use a controller, but I didn't, because, I don't know, I was mainly playing on my iPad and I couldn't be bothered going to get a controller. It controlled pretty well enough for me to not feel the need to.
And that's fair, and I think a lot of games on Apple Arcade, on iOS, on mobile devices in general, do a pretty reasonable job of the virtual joystick method of control, and Marble Knights, it feels totally fine with this control method. And as you said, I do appreciate being offered choices and sort of, you know, playing however is most comfortable to you as the player. With the tilt controls, I think I sort of was more fond of them than perhaps you were, Stephen.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't use them a lot, but when I gave it a go, I rather enjoyed it, and I think it sort of works with the setting quite well because of, you know, when you play with marbles or some of those like puzzle games where you've got, say, like I'm trying to describe this without visuals, which is very difficult, but where you've got like a frame or a you know, an object where you have to tilt, you know, to guide a marble through a little like maze sort of thing. So I appreciated that's what Marble Knights sort of went for with the tilt controls. And I thought, yeah, this feels pretty cool and it felt pretty responsive. However, the main issue I had is that, as is the case with a lot of motion control sort of inputs, whether this be, I'm just thinking of the Nintendo Switch using the Joy-Con as a pointer or a motion control device as an example, there's usually a button readily mapped that you can sort of recenter your positioning, press the button, and it'll recalibrate, and you can continue on from there. Mm-hmm. However, I did find with Marble Knights, if you're using the tilt controls, the recalibrate button is sort of locked or hidden behind the options screen, or, you know, going to like the pause menu, whereas I would have found the tilt controls a more viable method if, say, perhaps there was just a little calibrate button maybe in the top left-hand corner, or, you know, in one of the corners that, you know, if you needed to recalibrate on the fly, which with any of these sort of motion inputs, you do need to recalibrate a fair bit because Definitely. The technology is only so smart. But yeah, it would have been a much sort of easier control input to perhaps recommend or suggest if the recalibrate option was more readily available without having to go into the pause menu. But like yourself, I did spend most of my time with the virtual thumbstick.
Yeah, and I think now that you've explained the appeal of the tilt controls in that way, I think I still don't know if I'll go swapping to them, but I can see the appeal in that it's almost like playing with, you know, a marble that is within this physical object that is your device, I guess, almost. Gosh, it strikes me as, I don't know if this will be a reference that's lost on many listeners, but like Super Monkey Ball, in that that's a game about moving the environment around a ball, and the ball just falls where the ball will fall, I guess. And yeah, the tilt controls could be seen as somewhat of an analog to that kind of experience. But yeah, it's having that recalibration option is super important to me as well, because I know exactly the issue you're talking about. You would think that if you calibrate it to, say, a flat surface, then, you know, a flat surface becomes your, you know, calibrated center point, and that should be perfectly fine. But with the current technology that we have, whether it's in, you know, game controllers on a PlayStation, in a Switch, in an iPad, it's always either just going to lose its calibration a bit or just feel a little bit wonky, and you just need to reset to your new, maybe you just move and need to reset to a different position. And so that, it would be nice, yeah, if you're going to play it with tilt, it would be pretty nice to have that as a easily first level acceptable button.
Yeah, definitely. But enough on the controller inputs, because as we've said, the digital method, you sort of the virtual thumbstick, is more than a capable way of you know, interacting with Marble Knights. But there's also some other virtual buttons which correspond to attacks or, you know, various other maneuvers as well. But Marble Knights is I would say it's a very family-friendly sort of game. It's got this sort of fantasy grand quest setting where you're playing as these young sort of knights in training and that sort of thing. But the thing that really took me right from the get-go is the very punny sort of setting and the very dad joke sort of humor that Marble Knights employs, in terms of there's lots of marble puns. The setting is a place, a kingdom called Roundingham. The big bad is Lord Terrible, which Terrible, you know, a ball, but also terrible. Oh,
got him.
But also,
I mean, you're on a quest to join the Knights of the Round.
The Knights of the Round. And I can't remember what the king's name was, but it was something that was...
King Roland.
King Roland. And one of the playable characters, her name is Maribel, which isn't that far from, you know, marble, with perhaps a very heavy American accent.
It's like Orbis, I think, was one of them. This game just absolutely delights in its own sense of humor, and I just love it for that. I found myself when I was playing, you know, just by myself, just thinking, just giggling to myself with these lovely puns. But when I sat down and played it with my partner, and it just For some reason, the same stupid jokes become so much more funny when you've got a second person there who will bounce off your tiny giggles, and it just becomes just a laugh a minute, as they might say. And I think you mentioned before it was very family friendly, and I think this would be an incredible game if you're a family that has a whole pile of Apple devices, one person on Apple Arcade sharing it to everyone. Just imagine getting the whole fam around the table or around a TV. This game would be an utter delight, I think.
Absolutely. And the way that Marble Knights works is that you play through several levels, going through your grand quest, and you can play as one of four characters who all control pretty well the same. It's just more of a cosmetic difference or a sort of like gender difference, that sort of thing, which is always cool to have the options. And, you play with, between one to four players, and you go through these levels, fixing or solving puzzles rather, trying to, unlock gates by, all coordinating to press buttons or all stand on switches at the same time to progress forward, or you're trying to cooperate and collect lots of bits of treasure and that sort of stuff, and fighting enemies, which requires trying to dodge their attacks and hit back and that sort of thing. And I'll have to ask you, Stephen, because the my entire time was just played in single player. So when you were playing with your partner, is it the case where, where you've got two or more players, that do you sort of, in a fun sort of way, get in each other's way and sort of bounce off each character?
A little bit. Sort of thing? It's not... You do, you'll collide with each other and bounce off, but it definitely doesn't really get in the way, I guess. It's very low risk, I guess. It's not likely that you're going to hit someone off the edge or something like that, as funny as that might actually be. It was very, I think, playing it in multiplayer, it was, it just gives you more people to deal with the enemies, or there'll be certain, not puzzles, but like challenges where, say, you'll need to cut all the grass in an area for a secret to appear, and that's so much easier when you have two sets of, swords or attacks to do that kind of thing. And yeah, definitely never found there was any, getting in each other's way or anything that made it frustrating at all. It was just very, I'm playing this fun game and now my friend is also playing this fun game in the same place.
Yeah, nice. Well, even with one player, I found that the levels were quite cleverly designed to take advantage of the fact that you're playing as these marble people and you've got to contest with the momentum of, if you're rolling in a particular direction, you're not going to immediately stop in one frame of movement. You've got to allow for a little bit of slippage, or, the sort of the momentum of the ball going one way and then suddenly trying to move in the opposite direction. So there's plenty of slopes and ramps and hazards and spikes and lots of things to contend with, and there's lots of places to fall off as well, which is something that'll happen quite a bit.
Some moving platforms that surprise you with little, barriers that will come up and basically just sort of scrub you off that moving platform if you don't get out of the way quick enough, and that's something that gets a little bit more... hectic when you have more than one person, because there's some pretty tight spots that you can fit through in these little obstacles, and fitting two people is exactly double as hard as fitting one person.
And even I noticed that some of the areas where there could be a bit of chaos, and I could imagine this being even more chaotic with two or more players, is those little like springboard platforms where you roll over them and then get launched onto like the next tier of the level and that sort of thing. So you've got to try and figure out where you're going vertically as well as these sort
on the
of
ground
separate
plane.
Planes. Yeah.
One thing I was really impressed by is you can tell that the game is certainly initially it was designed, I can only assume, for multiplayer. A lot of it, it'll have all these checkpoints around, it'll have all of these little things that are like waiting for everyone to get there before you can progress. But playing it with just one person, I don't think it was a worse experience for doing so. And I was a little worried it might be, because we mentioned earlier on in last episode that it gave me vibes of sort of The Legend of Zelda Four Swords, which is a game that is... I don't think you can even play it with one person. And as a result, it's, you know, you have to have friends, otherwise it's just not going to happen. This game, it does make it very easy to play with friends. All you need is someone else with an Apple device of some sort and the internet, and you're pretty well good to go. But if you don't have that, it's still a really fun game as a single player experience. I've almost had just as much fun playing by myself as with someone else.
Yeah, cool. And one thing that I noticed playing by myself, and I'm curious as to how this translated into a multiplayer component, is that so throughout these levels, when you're slashing enemies and breaking pots, as you do in these adventure sort of games, there's lots of treasure and gold and lots of goodies to collect and that sort of thing. And I noticed at the end of each level, there's a screen that displays your sort of your score, or what would be your ranking at the end of it in terms of, you know, how much treasure has been collected, how many foes you defeated and that sort of stuff. I'm wondering, you know, what sort of, you know, competitive elements are there in terms of, you know, does it sort of say that, oh, you won this level because you collected more things, or does it favour, you know, enemies defeated, or how did that work?
Well, honestly, I couldn't quite see how each one of those factors weighs into the rank. I guess it seemed like it was mostly to do with the money or gems collected, but it does also take into account how many times you've died, how many enemies you've killed. I think it's a really well-designed game in that it is as competitive as the players want it to be. So yeah, if you want to be going around getting all the gems and get everything so you can become the winner at the end of it, sure, go for it, go for your life. But like, if you just want to play it as a casual, let's both get through these levels and see how it is, the ranking at the end doesn't seem to do much. It kind of is just a bit of a, yeah, you won, next level. I don't think it really, if you don't want to play it competitively, it won't punish you for not being in that mindset, which is nice. But I guess on the same token, maybe people who want to play competitively will feel like they're not being rewarded for being competitive. I found it was a nice little end of level. Oh, yay, I won that. But I wasn't really thinking about it as I played the game. Although I did like the characters are quite talkative, as you may have found, especially when there's more than one person. And if you say, open a chest and all the gems come out, someone else swoops in and takes all the gems. Like, your character will be like, hey, get away from my gems and stuff like that. It's very, it's nice that it acknowledges the goofiness and how much you're bullying me for stealing all my gems.
I do like that sort of reactive element, and that there's a bit of dynamic interaction between the players based on your actions. So it does make sort of the world and the characters feel a bit more fully realized as well when there's that element. So totally, there's a strong sense of personality that comes through, which, yeah, is quite cool. But yeah, that sort of light competitive element, but ultimately with a cooperative sort of vision, it reminds me of, you know, the Lego games. Like, I haven't played much of the recent Lego games, but I played a lot of the Lego Star Wars games, like the original ones and that sort of stuff, where, you know, you're both cooperating to defeat all the baddies, get through the level and finish all the levels, but there's still that element, you know, that light element of, you know, competition that sort of you place on it in terms of, oh, who can earn the most Lego studs and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And even more recently, I was discussing about some of the recent multiplayer Mario games, like with New Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario 3D World, that sort of thing. You know, there are competitive elements, like you can try and be the first to beat the stage or have the most coins at the end of it, which will mean you'll, you know, wear like a little crown and put a target on your back for the next level.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the main objective is the game. The main objective of the game is a shared objective of, you know, getting through the level. And that's sort of what strikes me that Marble Knights is as well, in terms of that's, you know, you can make it, as you said, you can make it as competitive as you want, but ultimately this is a good co-op experience. And I think perhaps those Lego games is quite an apt comparison because of the similar sort of family-friendly nature of it, but also Marble Knights does really well to differentiate itself because of its marble nature and the roly-poly fun that it, you know, exhibits.
Yeah, I definitely think that plays well into the multiplayer because, as we talked about before, you collide and stuff, but just the... trying to think of the way to put it, but the controls are not super precise because you have a little bit of, you know, weirdness to the way that your character moves, and that when you're playing with other people translates to funny stuff happening, I guess.
Yes.
Just that little bit of silliness that gets added to it, a little bit fumbly even. It just, it's not to the point where, you know, you're not playing Quop or Surgeon Simulator or something. The fumbliness is not the entire point, but it is enough there that between that and the competition, the characters always having, you know, some goofy things to say, the decent combat, it's just all comes together to be a really fun, light-hearted sort of experience, I think.
Oh, goodness. You know, it just popped into my head. This Marble Knights reminds me of, I can't remember which Mario Party it was in, but one of the Mario Parties where there's that competitive mini game where the characters are standing on the balls and you're trying to knock each other off the mountain or whatever.
Oh, that's a classic. I feel like that's in almost every Mario Party.
Yes, yeah. It reminds me of that in terms of the way that it handles, in terms of, yeah, there's that deliberate slippiness,
yes,
to the motion and the movement. But obviously Marble Knights is not quite as cutthroat and competitive as that particular iteration of the you know, niche genre of standing on a ball and moving around.
I think the only negative that I have with regards to the multiplayer is that it seems to go through, even if you're sitting next to each other, it seems like it goes through an online server. There was always some little element of lagginess or just inconsistency. So I've seen it in a bunch of other games. I think it's a fairly standard way of handling online play. But say, for example, I'll be playing and see my partner roll off the edge to their death and then just kind of like reappear as though they never died, and I ask them, hey, did you just die? And no, I've been here this whole time. Or even I notice them like attacking what seem to be invisible enemies. I'm like, oh, we've killed everything here, why are you still swiping around? And like, there's an enemy on my screen still. And it just it kind of led to some minor inconsistencies between the host and the people who have joined the game. I think this game might even be best suited to playing on, say, an Apple TV with a couple of controllers, assuming that it does it all locally. That way there's no server lag or anything to deal with, and it just feels more responsive. Whereas with this, the collisions don't happen all that much, and sometimes if they do, they end up not happening because the server realizes or the game realizes that you never actually collided and kind of fixes itself up. It sort of takes away a little bit of that, you know, fun interaction element, but only a very minor amount. It's still a great, great amount of fun. It's just sometimes you'll see these weird things and go, oh, that's strange. Okay, let's move on from that.
That's a good point about Apple TV, and I agree that Marble Knights does strike me as a game that would be quite good for local play, because I think back on this very small handful of games that I've played on Apple TV, and the best Apple TV local multiplayer experience I've had so far was with Crossy Roads Castles, which that was fantastic. That was really, really good. In fact, I believe that also won a recent award at the Australian Game Developer Awards for best mobile game. So well done to the folks behind
Was that Hipster Whale?
Crossy Road Castle. Yeah, it was Hipster Whale and not Mighty Kingdom. It was a collaboration between Hipster Whale and that's dreadful. I cannot remember the other half of who worked on that, but that's all right.
Put yourself on the spot a little bit. It's fine. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, the game won an award. That's the main part. But Marble Knights does seem like a game that would translate very well to local multiplayer on an Apple TV. So, yeah, that might be something worth checking out later down the track. But other than that, I think that pretty well covers all of my thoughts on Marble Knights. I think it's a really, really solid game with a cool little premise that's not super difficult to get into, but there's, you know, that little bit of a challenge with the you know, rolling around as a marble person, and yeah, the tone's really nice. It's really colourful, And I think it'd be really, really great as a family multiplayer game.
Yeah, I can only really echo your sentiments. I love how lighthearted it is, how vibrant the graphics and the character personalities are, just the way that it's just slippery enough to be, you know, to make some fun mistakes without it feeling frustrating, and the way that it fairly, you know, it's fairly easy to just get a bunch of people all playing. You just tell each other a code and you're all into the same game. It's really great. If you've got some friends with Apple Arcade, jump on it. It's really good fun.
Absolutely. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Mobile Arcade Club, which of course means that it's time to talk about what we'll be playing over the next couple of weeks, which is another very, very cute looking game. I would say this one, I would argue that this one looks even more absurd in its premise. This one is a game called Slash Quest, which is developed by Big Green Pillow, based in Brazil, and published by, oh, the name we absolutely love, published by Noodle Cake Studios.
Oh, makes based me hungry.
Based in Saskatoon, Canada.
Indeed.
And, so that's a Slash Quest is billed as, on the App Store, as a big talking sword adventure. And looking at the screens and footage of this game, playing as this rather small person swinging around a sword that's about 3 or 4 times their size, it looks utterly delightful.
Yeah, it looks absurd in the most delightful way. And I've watched that video and I just cannot wait to get into this game. It just looks stupid in a way that I can't wait for.
Fantastic. Well, thank you once again for joining us on this episode of the Mobile Arcade Club. Let us know what your thoughts are of Marble Knights if you've had the chance to play it, and look forward to our thoughts on the next episode for Slash Quest. So thank you once again.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help other people find us. You can follow the show on Twitter as well, at @MArcadeClub. We're open to feedback or just to chat cool mobile games. You can follow Chris and myself too. Our handles are in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.